The reading today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the word of God.
Thank you very much for reading, Jane. Shall we pray before we look at that passage together this morning? Our great comforter, we pray that you would unsettle the comfortable among us and that you would also comfort the unsettled. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, these three stories that Jesus himself told in Matthew 25 all have a common theme. And that common theme is best expressed in Matthew 24 and verse 44. "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." You can feel foolish when you're caught unprepared. I was nearly late for my own wedding. I woke up on the day with plenty of time to spare and had a leisurely breakfast, took a bit of a break, and then went out with my best man for a run, which was very nice, sunny day. We had plenty of time, so we took it nice and leisurely. We got back and we chatted for a bit, and the best man looked at his watch and thought, "I better go upstairs and have a shower." So he did that. And when he was done, I myself went up to the bathroom and started to get ready. Well, a few minutes into getting ready, there was a sharp knock at the door. "Kev," was my dad. "Kev, you do realise that you're supposed to be at the church in 5 minutes, don't you?" Well, the church was about 10 to 15 minutes drive, so panic came over me, and you won't believe how quickly I got ready. But I managed to get to the church just in time, just before the bride arrived, which I'm very grateful about. But had I been on time, well, I could have made sure that the corsage of flowers weren't from the previous wedding weren't given to our wedding guests. And I could also have checked my hair, because it was a special day, and I decided, well, I never usually use gel, but that particular day I decided to use gel in about 26 seconds, and it showed. Sadly, I've forgotten to bring the wedding photos to show you this morning. Sorry about that. But that's just about it, isn't it? It can be embarrassing when you're ready too late. And in this first story that Jesus tells in Matthew 25, it's a story of 10 people, 5 of whom are ready on time, and 5 of whom are ready too late. It's a wedding story. And we have 10 virgins, 10 young women, 10 bridesmaids who go out to meet the bridegroom. And as the tradition had it, they would go at night time, and there would be this great procession of lights as they carried their torches, and they would go with the bridegroom to the wedding banquet and enter with him. But for a while, the bridegroom didn't come. Again, tradition would say that the bridegroom should arrive early in the evening, but the evening came and the bridegroom hadn't come. And as the sun started to go down below the horizon and all of the light from the day disappeared, still the bridegroom hadn't come. And as the night pressed on, the temperature would drop, perhaps just 1 or 2 degrees in that climate, but nonetheless the temperature would drop and still the bridegroom hadn't come. And by this time the midnight hour was fast approaching, and all 10 of the bridesmaids became a little bit drowsy, and their eyes began to close, and all 10 of them fell asleep. But as the clock struck midnight, a great cry went out: "The bridegroom is here!" And just as surely as the bridegroom turning up at that wedding, just as surely the Son of Man will one day come to this earth. It seems to me it takes less faith to believe in his second coming if you believe in his first coming. And the question is, are we ready for that coming? Because the bridegroom did come. And when he came, there was a dreadful separation that took place among those who were waiting. The cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." And shaken from their slumber, the wise bridesmaids, well, they grabbed and trimmed their torches, and they went out with the bridegroom. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. On the other hand, there were 5 others who, as they were shaken out of their sleep, suddenly realized that they didn't have enough oil. And so they were sent off to buy oil. Now, you might think it was a bit cruel that the oil wasn't shared with them by the wise bridesmaids. But, of course, as the parable tells us, if they had done that, there wouldn't have been enough oil for the procession at all, so they couldn't. But when they came back from going to get their oil, what they discovered was that the door was shut. And to their great distress, they realized that they were left outside in the cold and in the dark. Now, I want to just speak really clearly and simply to everybody this morning, because the picture that we're given here is exactly the picture that you and I are in as we wait for the great bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, to return. History isn't wandering or meandering aimlessly. History is heading towards a goal, when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And when he returns, the great kingdom of heaven will begin in earnest, and that great wedding banquet will be enjoyed, but only for those who are ready. "Be ready then," says Jesus. And there is a sense, of course, in which that's what Christianity is all about: being ready for Jesus Christ. And it is, of course, the essence of wisdom to be ready, and the essence of folly to be unready. There are 2 sets of people represented here: the 5 wise who were ready and entered, and the 5 foolish who were unready and were excluded. Let's look at them in turn. First of all, the 5 wise virgins and the entrance of the ready. And we'll think together a little bit about the entrance itself, and then those who enter. About their entrance, notice that it is an immediate entry. They enter as soon as the bridegroom returns. There's no mention of having to go through any kind of fires of purgatory that might cleanse their soul. There's none of that. As soon as the bridegroom arrives, they enter with him. Why? Because they're ready. They enter immediately. And they enter accompanied. The virgins who were ready went in with him. There's no fear that on that day they would be met with a sour face at the door of heaven. Why? Because they were with Jesus. And if we're with Jesus when we go towards the gates of heaven, we're going to say, well, we're with him. We're with him. And so we can be confident that we will be allowed to enter. And how else would we enter without being united to our Saviour, the one who died and was raised again, the one who has given us a new heart and a new spirit and a new status as brothers and sisters of him? Notice too that they enter into joy. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. Now, even today, weddings, when they are as they should be, are real high points of joy, aren't they? One of the very best days of a person's life. You enter marital bliss. At least that is the theory. They enter into joy, and after they enter into this joy, notice that the door is shut. They enter into an unending and uninterrupted joy. Those who enter find that the door is shut on everything that is difficult. The door is shut on everything that is painful. The door is shut on everything that is frustrating. The door is shut on decay and even death itself. They enter into unending and uninterrupted bliss. So when the bridegroom returns, for those who are ready, they will enter immediately with Christ into an uninterrupted and eternal joy. But let's not just think about the entrance, let's also think about those who enter. Now, those who are ready are ready in part because they expect the bridegroom to come. They believe that Jesus is coming back. That's part of their preparation, but the main part of their preparation is that they are prepared. They have the external lamp of religion, but not only do they have the external lamp of religion, they have the internal spirit within them. They know that Jesus said that unless somebody is born again, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so the wise virgins, the wise bridesmaids, are always asking that question, am I ready? If Jesus were to return today, am I ready for him? If the cry were to go up and Christ were to come down, am I ready? If I were to be struck down by a stroke or a heart attack or something, if I were to die today, am I ready for Jesus Christ? And of course, the wise want to be ready not only in the great things of salvation, but the smaller things as well. We know that's true, don't we? We get ready for a wedding. The main part of getting ready, the shower and the gel in the hair and everything, that takes place at home. And then we drive to the church, and if you arrive early at the church, you can look around the car park and you can see people sorting out their hair and putting on their lippy and brushing down their jackets and pulling up their ties, of course. The small preparations, the final preparations, are being put in place. Now, maybe you've readied yourself in the great matter of salvation. You've looked to the cross of Christ for your salvation. That is the great matter of preparation. But perhaps you've neglected some of the smaller things. Perhaps you haven't yet publicly acknowledged Jesus Christ in baptism. And if so, in that respect, you are not ready for Jesus Christ. Remember on the day of Pentecost, the people cried out to Peter and said, what must we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. It seems to me that if I was on my deathbed and I hadn't made preparation in the small things, that my heart would be troubled. Let's get ready in the great things, in the great matters of salvation, but also in the small matters. Let's be ready in everything, in all respects, at all times, always. Doesn't mean, of course, being always ready, doesn't mean that we should be existing in a state of sort of frenzied hysteria. If the lesson of chapter 24 was to warn those who thought Jesus was never coming, well, the lesson of chapter 25 is to warn those who think that Jesus is only coming immediately. And if you think that, then of course you're going to be in a perpetual state of hysteria. But that's not the kind of waiting that Jesus is after. And I think the clue here is that all 10 of the bridesmaids go to sleep. See, no one knows the day or the hour. So we should ignore those who seek to sort of whip us up into a state of hysteria. The people who see China in the book of Daniel and Russia in the book of Ezekiel and coronavirus and government conspiracy in the book of Revelation. No, they all slept. You do not know the day or the hour, says Jesus. So why bother trying to join those who think they can calculate it? Of course, if we did know the day or the hour, if we knew that Jesus Christ was coming back tonight, well, who of us would go to sleep? I wouldn't be going to sleep. But we don't know. And if we are ready, therefore, we can sleep peacefully. If Jesus Christ were to come tonight, I'm confident that many here would be ready and would enter into a joyful and unending bliss with Jesus, into the wedding feast. And if you are ready, then you should be greatly encouraged, not complacent, but greatly encouraged this morning. But of course, Jesus' main aim is to warn the unready, to warn the almost Christian, to warn the foolish. So let's think a little about these five foolish virgins and the exclusion of the unready. Think about their exclusion, and then those who are excluded. About their exclusion, we read that their door was shut. And it was shut irreversibly. The door wasn't left ajar. The door wasn't left on the latch. It was irreversibly shut. So that later when the foolish virgins arrive saying, "Lord, Lord," and "Open the door for us," they hear the reply, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you." Now that seems a little harsh, and I'm sure in that culture, as in our own, there might be a bit of shaming going on, and the bridesmaids would be allowed to enter. But of course this is a story, a parable, and it's talking about the most important event of our lives, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not being ready for him is an infinite offence. And we've been warned that without holiness, none of us will see the Lord. So the door is not only irreversibly shut, it is justly shut. Lack of preparation for this great day is an outrageous offence against King Jesus, the one who spilt his blood to pay for this wedding banquet, the one who by grace invites every single one of us to this wedding banquet, and the one who will irreversibly and justly shut the door on those who are not ready. So let's think some more then, not only about the exclusion, but about those who are excluded. Because they're fairly like the wise, aren't they? They're pretty impossible to distinguish from the wise virgins. And as I look around, I know it's As we look around, it is impossible for us to completely be certain about who here is true and who here is a false disciple. Notice that they all bear the same name, Virgin. We're not talking about rank outsiders here. These are churchgoers. They all bear the name Christian. They all call themselves disciples. And they all carried lamps. They all had the marks of external religion. They would have called upon the name of God the Father as they said the Lord's Prayer. They would have had the name of God placed upon them in baptism. They would come together to eat and drink at the Lord's table. And notice that they all went to meet the bridegroom. They all believed that he was coming. They longed for his coming even. They looked for his coming, the wise and the foolish. And they all believed that they were ready for his coming. I think that that's in the fact that all 10 of these bridesmaids went to sleep. If you knew that you weren't ready and the bridegroom was coming, well, surely you wouldn't go to sleep, but you'd get ready. But they all believed that they were ready. And then notice the warmth of their devotion. Lord, Lord, they said. It's a warm, affectionate. They think they're intimate in their relationship with the Lord. Reminds us of back of chapter 7. Do you remember those who came up to the Lord and they said, Lord, Lord, and they'd been involved in these great acts of ministry, even sharing the faith. And Jesus said to them, I never knew you. So they believed they were insiders. They were believed that they were intimately acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had the same opportunity. The wise and the foolish, they were all invited. They all responded. And all had the same opportunity to get ready. It's not as if some had more time than others. You see, the foolish are like the wise in pretty much every respect. They're all called disciples. They all had the mark of Christianity. They all believed in and were looking forward to the second coming. They all believed that they were ready. They all expressed devotion. And they all had the same invitation and the same opportunity to be ready. They were almost indistinguishable. But they were distinguished. 5 of them were fools. That is, fools about their souls. Not necessarily fools about business. Not necessarily fools in terms of knowledge. They may well have had advanced degrees. Not necessarily fools practically. Perhaps they had great practical wisdom, but they were fools about their souls. It's basic scouting stuff, isn't it? Basic guiding stuff. You remember Baden-Powell? Be prepared. And they were not prepared. Now, some don't call Jesus Lord. Of course, it's obvious that they are unready, and unless they get ready, they will be excluded. Some do call Jesus Lord, and it's less obvious that they won't be ready. And they will hear the words, I don't know you. Now, I'm told that those words were the words that a disciple of a rabbi might hear at the end of their apprenticeship, when they got to the end. If they hadn't really listened to the words of the rabbi, if they hadn't put the words of the rabbi into practice and followed him, if they were nothing like the rabbi, then the rabbi would discharge them with these words, I don't know you. Can you think of anything more dreadful than to come knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door? Lord, Lord, let me in, Lord. And you're expecting to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And you hear those words, truly, I never knew you. Can't think of anything more dreadful. The distinguishing mark of the foolish, their unreadiness lay in the fact that they lacked oil. They're not sent away because they're sinners. Jesus will always have sinners back. They're not sent away because they're caught on the hop. No. They all went to sleep. They're sent away because of lack of oil. Now, what is this lack of oil? Well, by comparison with the Sermon on the Mount, I think they lack the light of good deeds that shine from a changed heart. God hadn't changed their hearts. That's the point. There's no evidence that God changed their hearts. And in the second and third stories in Matthew 25, which we'll look at next week and the week after, God willing, we will see what these deeds actually look like, specifically what they look like. Of course, we'll also be reminded that deeds don't save, but you can't be saved without deeds. Now, what's the implication of this? Well, I don't need to dream one up for you, because Jesus has told us there in verse 13. Therefore, keep watch. Be ready, because you don't know the day or the hour. Are you ready? Am I ready? Well, if we are, we can rejoice this morning as we look forward to that great heavenly banquet when the bridegroom will return. I guess there are some here who know that they are not ready. And I want to say to you, if you know that you're not ready, that the door of opportunity is wide open for you. You say you're a sinner, and I say, nonetheless, come to Christ. He will forgive you. He will make you ready, even this morning. The door of mercy and forgiveness is wide open for all repentant sinners. So it won't be your sins that will condemn you, but your lack of belief. I can't guarantee that this door will be open at the end of the year, or even that it will be open at the end of today. But I know that it is open, wide open, right now. And I encourage you to go through it. Because the day you die, or the day that the bridegroom returns, whichever is sooner, that door of opportunity is going to be slammed shut. May no one here will ever have to say, open the door for me, Jesus. You see, I was going to buy oil, I just never got round to it. And may no one ever say, open up for me, Jesus. I'd thought I'd run the risk, and I thought I'd get oil later on in my life. You see, I've been running the risk for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years now. And I thought I'd just get the oil later. I thought, just one more year of risk, and then I will commit. But I was a fool. Death came so suddenly to me. On my deathbed, I had no strength. The morphine, you know, it made all of my head fuzzy. Those who know that they're not ready, don't be a fool with your one precious soul. And then there are those who came presuming that you were ready. You call yourself a Christian, others call you a Christian. You remember a time when you've said the sinner's prayer most earnestly and committed to Christ. But as this picture has been sketched by our Lord Jesus this morning, you've begun to wonder whether you're ready. Your conscience has just been disturbed and pricked a little, perhaps. Maybe the Holy Spirit has been asking you, are you deceived, self-deceived? Are you one of the foolish ones? And if that's the case, I would urge you not to push back against that. It's not safe to ignore the Holy Spirit. The lesson of verses 8 and 9 is that there is no borrowing at the time of the bridegroom's return. The lesson of verse 10 is it is too late. We won't be able to say, I know others who are ready. There's people in my family who are ready. I go to a church and there's lots of people there who are ready. In my small group, yeah, they're all ready. And we won't be able to say, look, can I trust you now, Jesus? Because the door will be shut. When the bridegroom comes, the door of opportunity will be shut. And I don't want any single one of us to be on the wrong side of that door. I don't want one of us to hear those words, I don't know you. Rather, may the Son of Man make us all ready, even before we leave the building this morning, or even before the service finishes, as if we're listening at home. Jesus mainly wants to warn us this morning that when he returns, there will be those who think they are ready and will enter, who are actually unready and be excluded. There will be some who ask and will be denied, some who seek and will not find, some who knock and the door will not be opened. May that not be me or you. Instead, may we be the wise who are ready. And because we know we're ready, we can sleep soundly tonight. Because whenever the bridegroom comes, we are ready. We are not self-deceived. And when he does return, we will enter with him into eternal joy and into the wedding banquet. So that when the door of opportunity is shut, we will find that we are on the inside. Jesus says to you, as he says to everyone, be ready, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Let's take a moment for our own personal prayer before the Lord, and our musicians will come and will play our final song for us.